Welcome to the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast, a show dedicated to the artistry and science of sports field management and celebrating the groundskeepers who create those masterpieces. The Diamond Da Vinci's podcast is sponsored by Beacon Athletics for over 67 years, providing solutions for sports field managers. On this special mini edition of the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast, with two recent incidences of tarps getting out of control during Major League Baseball games, we've decided to talk about tarp safety for those who deal with deployment and removal of these massive pieces of fabric. We have two former professional groundskeepers on hand today, one from Major League Baseball and the other from the NFL, to discuss the dangers involved during tarp operations and what types of policies could potentially be put into place to improve safety for the crews that are tasked with their use. It's the Tarps Gone Wild special edition on this Mad, Mad Diamond Da Vinci's podcast, coming up next. And welcome again to a shortened version of the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast today. This is a version that we've decided to do due to some incidences that have happened. My name is Paul Zawaska. I'm the host of the Diamond Da Vinci's podcast. And with me today, as usual, my producer and co-host, Teresa Beyer.
Greetings and salutations.
Yes, indeed. So let's kind of set the stage of how this came about. Last week, we had two incidences in Major League ballparks of tarps getting out of control from high winds. The first happened in, I forget where
Pittsburgh.
It happened. Pittsburgh, thank you. and in that particular case, the tarp not only got out of hand due to the high winds, but it also rolled up a ground crew tarp crew member. And there is tremendous danger involved with that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, players and TV people and all kinds of people came rushing out to the tarp to try and help him get out of that. And then later in the week, we saw a tarp also get out of control in Colorado at a Rockies game, again from high winds from a thunderstorm. And again, people came from outside of the groundskeeping community, in other words, players and whatnot, to help get it back under control. And you know, it seems like we see more and more of this kind of stuff around. And yeah. Teresa and I talked about it, and we thought, you know, this might be a good possibility for a special short edition of the podcast and bring in some people who have some experience with this kind of thing. Obviously, I have considerable experience from my years in Baltimore, but I thought we'd bring some other people because let's be, you know, real. People get tired of listening to me. So we bought in some other guests. And without further ado, let's go ahead and bring those guests in. So on this subject, I want to bring in two experts or former experts or they're some kind of expert. I'm not really sure what they are yet from the industry. One of them is Mr. Ross Kirkhab, who for a long, long time worked in NFL football with the Denver Broncos. Ross now runs a company called Championship Sports Turf, which is his own consulting company out of Denver. Ross, good morning.
Morning, Paul. Teresa.
Morning.
And the other expert we've had on the show before, Mr. Tom Burns, former head groundskeeper for the Texas Rangers, and also many other baseball jobs previous to that, going way, way back into his, I think, early childhood. I think you started pulling tarps, right, Tom?
That's right. Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today?
Morning, Tom.
Tom, how many years total did you actually do baseball groundskeeping? Do you have an idea?
How many years? All right.
In baseball.
78. Probably, 78. Here's another one. 78 to 2006. So almost 30.
Okay.
You know, just shy of 30. And, you know, I consider myself still working in baseball. Last 9 years
yes,
I've been with Diamond
but
Pro.
But you're typically not pulling tarp and that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Though, anymore.
Right. If I do now, it's on a volunteer basis. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't miss about, about being professionally employed in baseball or permanently.
And Ross, yeah, total years for you?
Gosh, 30 years in the NFL. And year and a half in business, 4 years of school, something like that. You could do the math. Long time, like I said, Tom's first mower. Tom's first mower was a goat, and mine probably was too.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
Well, 35, I believe, right now, with all my experience through my different levels.
I got you all beat. 3 years.
There you go.
So we have over 90 years experience of pulling tarp on this.
93 years.
Panel. Yes. I'm sure all of you are familiar with what happened last week with Pittsburgh and then with later in the week, Colorado. And, you know, they aren't the only people who have run into these problems, and these problems are not unique. But to a certain degree, I think over the past 20 years, the frequency of these are increasing, and it could be the explosion of social media and more cameras in the parks. It could be any number of things. I personally believe part of it is the change of fabrics from heavier weight fabrics to lighter weight fabrics is part of the reasoning. But nevertheless, those things have changed, and I don't know. Do you guys feel that these events are becoming more commonly seen, or more or happening more frequently,
or are they just more obvious because of?
I really think they're more obvious. Back when we first started, back in the '70s, late '70s when I first started, not every game was televised. We had I can remember several times that the old ballpark in Cleveland. Having these kind of episodes and, it's not always during a game. It's protecting the field prior to the game.
Sure.
That things like that happen. I can remember an instance in Cleveland, and I think I referred to it in the previous show with Mark, we were talking about the Bossarts, we had an event, I believe it was in 81, where we had the baseball strike. And we had a football game on a Saturday and the All-Star game on a Sunday. They had a split season that year. The second half of the season started off with the All-Star game. And we had a game against the Steelers, an exhibition game on Saturday night. And we had an All-Star game Sunday night. Well, the Steelers were working out Saturday. We had the goalposts up already, and the football field ran from pitcher's mound out to center field. And a big storm come up while the Steelers were there working out, and we had to get the infield covered because we did not resod the infield for that game. We didn't do that till baseball season ended, and we only had 10 guys there, and we had to cover the infield with a football tarp. And we had 10 people there, and that tarp was off the ground. So it was a 35 by 65 yard tarp. And, that thing was off the ground. We had it controlled. Nobody got hurt that day, but I can remember I was probably lifted off the ground 3 feet. I've known several people. In fact, Brian Bossard, who was our boss at that time, had his shoulder separated by a tarp. So I think, basically to answer the question, I think it's always happened. I think maybe the lighter fabrics, I don't know. I really don't know if they catch the wind that much more, or they're just, they go up a little bit easier. That could be part of the factor. I think the big thing is that there's constant attention there. People have cell phone cameras. They put it on YouTube. They put it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So there's more documentation of things happening, but I think it's been a problem since tarps were invented. I mean, it's, you're dealing with 170-foot square sail for baseball. Same thing with football. Football, you're dealing with, thunderstorms in the south. You're dealing with snowstorms, ice storms. It's just the nature of the beast. And I really think that it's just a little bit more prevalent now, or it's just more documented now. That's my belief on it.
Ross, from the football side.
Well, I agree with everything that, that was just said by Tom and Teresa. I think made a good point that we've got, you know, cell phones and more media covering it. So, you know, I mean, also we've been using more tarps. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, this is really filtered down where almost all the minor league clubs now are regularly covering. We're kind of using them in a new way. Maybe not so much new, but, you know, in-game use versus when the team's out of town and those kind of things where you have, you know, when the team's out of town, you got to get the cover on the field. You can see it coming. You're going to go out and get things on before the wind hits.
It's the yeah. more time.
In-game, in-game use is it do it. But I would submit that it's really been going on quite a bit. It's just Do a YouTube search of Windy Baseball Tarp Incident.
There's tons of them. Absolutely tons of them.
Windy Baseball Tarp Incident. And you'll get 10 or 15 years of it.
Mm.
Yeah. It's been going on quite a while.
Well, I'm from the camp that certainly part of the problem has been the tarp materials. And I mean, I don't blame tarp crews for going to lighter weight tarps. I can fully understand that from a manpower standpoint, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially minor leagues. That makes a lot of sense.
Right, but...
Well, they don't have the manpower either, you know, that
exactly.
you
typically
right. But I will say, and we used 10-ounce tarps all my career in Baltimore, and in the 15 years I was there, I never had a tarp get away from me like any of these that you see. Am I lucky? Who knows? You know, the only time I ever had a tarp get away from me was when it was already pinned down in the middle of the night, and wind got up underneath it and balled it up on one side of the field. But never as in a deployment situation did we have that. And I do feel with the heavyweight tarps, you can have more control over it. It doesn't bubble as high. It still bubbles, certainly. But you have to know how to control it at that point. And I think with a lighter weight tarp, it's because it's so light, it's a lot easier to blow up into a bubble. And at that point, it's hard to control. I don't care who you are. You're not Superman out there, and there are times where you just have to let go for your own safety. And to be honest with you, if you really want to get rid of a bubble, the fastest way to do it is let go, and it collapses on itself very quickly. But let's move from that now to something else. In-game situations and groundskeepers. Now, I know Tom has, and I've been caught several times by umpires that have waited too long, despite what we've told them. They try and get it in a little bit longer and see how much farther they can get when we tell them, hey, as soon as you feel the first drop, you got to cover this baby because it's going to hit hard very fast. And of the two instances in my 15 years where I got caught and we couldn't get it out because it rained so hard, one time was we were caught totally by surprise by the storm as it passed by the stadium, turned around, and came back on us.
Ooh.
The other one was where an umpire waited too long, blatantly obvious. And we had been given full warning by us.
Now, don't say it, but I bet you still know his name, don't you?
You know, sadly, I don't.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to remember. Tom would know who I'm talking about. It's a Southern guy.
Yeah. Don't say his name.
He wasn't a normal
crew. I
won't,
but I remember everyone that got me screwed.
Yeah. It was a Southern
me
guy.
Me too.
He wasn't normal. See, the thing was, he wasn't normally a crew chief. He was filling in for a crew chief that was out.
Oh.
And so that was, and he was a very funny umpire. But I was steaming that day, and actually when after the incident, it, you know, we couldn't get the tarp. I think we had like 3 feet of the infield covered. We had rolled it out, taken out the first fold out to the outfield to grab it on the inside, and the tarp filled up with water. We couldn't budge it, and I was so mad. I went stomping in the umpire room and just reamed those guys. And, you know, the story goes on, but that's not the point. But
quick,
you know,
question
is,
oh, sorry, because you're yeah. talking about, you know, and I know where you're headed with this, which is why I want to ask this question really quick of Ross. Ross, the NFL has a really tight grip on a lot of your operations, in game, all of that stuff. You're almost never allowed to pull out a tarp or anything like that, and there are restrictions pregame. But are some of those restrictions tight enough that it's caused you trouble?
Well, you know, they do, I think, a fantastic job in their policies and procedures. And, you know, we've got or had at the time, you know, meetings with all the they call it a 100-minute meeting, you know, the 100 minutes before kickoff.
Mm.
And they've got the referees, the game officials, all the team officials, all the important people. And then people like me. But anyway, my end of it was kind of bring in a weather report and say, hey, look, here's what could happen tonight. Here's what the forecast. Let's just be ready. And here's what we'll kind of do if things do happen. So it's a little different in football in that sense. You know, they don't have an in-game, you know, rain comes during the game. Their concern is lightning. You know, clear the field.
Which has in just recent years has become a big thing.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But the issue in football with the parts is, you know, is pregame covering and stuff like that. We're required to have the field covered in the days leading up to the game if there's any chance of precip, which, you know.
24-hour rule, right?
I don't want to give field tarps a bad name here with all this because they're a fantastic tool for the groundskeeper. I mean,
they're a tool you have to
have.
You got to have them.
A very, very useful tool, but just wanted to get that point in. But it's in football, it's more the pregame. For example, a preseason game in August, a lot of summertime storms, night game, and we've got storms rolling through in the afternoon. So we'll get the cover out. We can get it out, probably see it coming. You know, we're not told to wait to the last minute. So we'll get it out. Usually okay, but there's usually a lot of winds preceding these storms and stuff like that. The trickier thing is then we leave it on is, okay, kickoff's coming. And in the NFL, it's, you know, 2:15 kickoffs happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
You know, they'll shut the roads down and the airports down, but we're kicking off. So we got to have that field cover off 90 minutes prior to the kickoff of the game to allow for the players to warm up. That's where you can kind of get into not just deploying the tarp, but actually rolling it up. We got to get it off. Well, it's really windy outside, you know, and all of us have a ton of these scary stories. It's you know, it is a nervous time for the head groundskeeper because you've got your crew out there. You know, I've been out on the tarp. Wondering, what am I doing here? And there's city tornado sirens going.
Yeah.
I can remember, need to talk a little about lightning and those issues, but I mean, it just seems.
And that's where he was headed, yeah.
Is that crazy weather comes, some official says, wow, this is dangerous. Everybody leave the field. Except for the grounds crew, you go on the field.
Get out there.
You're going to say, Tom?
A couple instances I can remember in a football game taking the tarps off in a pouring rain because the game's going to start at 1 o'clock.
I bet that's a joy rolling those up.
And, you know, if it was baseball, we'd be leaving the tarps on. So there's a difference there. Getting to your point about lightning, you know, back before they came out with the plastic tubes, you know, they'd pull all the players off and then send the groundskeeper out there with metal tubes. You know, pulling a
which we still use in Baltimore.
You know, we're staking it down with metal stakes. And, you know, so that's, you know, I guess we are expendable.
Well, let me bring this.
It seemed kind of ironic to me, you know, you're taking it off for the safety of people. They bring the fans, you know, let the fans down in the tunnels and stuff like that, keep them out of lightning. Yet, you know, we're rolling out a metal tube. So.
Let me bring this all back, and Ross is right, and I wasn't cutting down tarp manufacturers, tarp materials, or anything, because the tarps, when deployed under the right conditions, there's no problem. It's when you have to deploy them in conditions that aren't conducive to safely putting them out and not endangering your staff. So, you know, the NFL has been very proactive forever. I've always admired the NFL about how proactive they are in working with ground crews and setting up, no matter what the issue, setting up policies for how it does. And MLB really doesn't; they really aren't on top of that, in my opinion, on lots of things. You know, is it the situation where we need to give the groundskeeper a little more power in game to say, hey? We got to stop. We got to get this out for the safety of everybody here, not just us, but the players, the fans, everybody. Get this deployed, and we'll resume as soon as it's passed. Or do you take that stress and that power away from the groundskeeper and maybe put it in the hands of the league? Why doesn't the MLB have a group of meteorologists in New York in their offices?
Or even one. Yeah.
Who monitors areas of the country where it's really bad and makes the call for the umpires and says, hey, you got some high winds coming in, because they can see this stuff coming on the Doppler radar.
Let me handle that to begin with here. I had a situation in Texas where when I first took over there, and even when I worked there before, even in Cleveland to a point, the groundskeeper and when I was in Texas, myself and John Blake, who was the media director, basically we handled rain delays. All right, so I got a weather report, and I mean, I'm talking about pregame or even during the game. You know, once the rain stopped, you know, I went up to John and said, all right, I'm checking with the weather. You know, once the rain stops, once we start taking the tarp off, 20 minutes, we'll be ready to play. And he notified the press. I went in, told the two teams, I told the umpire, and we handled it alone.
And that's the same way we did it in Baltimore.
Now there's this, I think there's too much information out there. Many people have.
And they want to know.
And there's too many weather sites that are too general. And I'm not going to, I don't want to bag on the Weather Channel, but the Weather Channel is so generic that, you know, there are some other sites there now. But the one point I want to make is that when you're out there every day and you see these storms develop, you develop
a sixth sense.
Kind of a sixth sense.
Right.
That you know the weather patterns in your stadium. Every stadium's different. Every stadium has different wind patterns and microclimates. And you get to know when something's coming in. You've got a meteorologist or whatever that you trust. You know, I don't care. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is even if you got somebody from New York saying this, the first time that they cover that field and nothing happens, you know, everybody's
they're gonna second guess.
Well, why did you stop it? You know, and second guessing, it'll just go on. Right. You know, you have the potential for these things, but these storms slow down, they speed up, they have a life of their own. They're a living, breathing organism. They don't always act the way we want them to. And I think that's the biggest problem with having a centralized weather system is that these guys are going to make, they're going to make the same mistakes as the umpires or even the groundskeepers do, you know, and I've made mistakes and I've made the wrong call before. And then you just get second guessed when, you know, either you don't cover the field and the rains come or you cover the field and it's not coming and everybody's just gets all up in arms and, you know, hey, it's, you know, let's be safe. And So I'm not sure that that's going to work.
Okay, so let's get to the bottom line here. And I'll ask each of you your opinion. Is there something that should change, in your opinion? And if so, what are some ideas you would have? And I'll start with Ross.
Well, I don't come with a lot of solutions today, Paul. More questions than solutions. I think it is an issue that we definitely need to look at. Would agree a lot with what Tom said. A couple of thoughts on the whole weather issue, you know, the old saying, all weather is local. I do really want to back up what you said, Paul. The NFL does a great job in, from a groundskeeper's standpoint, you know, we've got a number to call right into the New York office, right into the operations center, any game day or game week operations we need. And, you know, if it's a turf agronomic issue, boom, they're taking you over to Andy McNitt at Penn State, and he's consulting on them. If it's an operational issue, they've got answers for that. And they do centralize these weather calls more in terms of lightning and stuff like that out of the New York office. So, you know, one thing, Tom, I think you're absolutely true. We all know, have a sixth sense. We live in our area. We, you know, we breathe the weather. If as a groundskeeper in a professional stadium, if you're out for dinner and you hear a pane of rain on the window, you turn your head, you know, and you look, like, that was in the forecast. And maybe you just hear some wind rustling when it shouldn't. And you have tarps on the field.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, you know. So real sensitive, and nobody makes a better weatherman than a local groundskeeper, I agree. But one thing I would disagree with is I really wouldn't want to make that call. I would like to look at some kind of objective standard or someone you know, higher up in the league office, because there's a lot of issues on the other side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have a couple thoughts. We from the baseball side, I think we do need to accept that we're going to get it wrong. We need to get the tarps out earlier, and we're going to be wrong sometimes. And when people, Tom, you're right, the media will be all over it, Twitter, this and everything. That's where the league needs to come in and say, look, we're doing this, you know, it's a worker safety. We're not always going to get it right every time.
And fan safety as well.
Yeah, and fan safety. Right, that tarp goes up into the
well,
stand
and, you got, and lightning and other issues that you have that come with a storm.
Lightning, hail.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, in terms of absolute solutions, I'm not sure a lot of them, but I do think that's part of it, is the timing issue has to come in there. But there are, you know, there's that's why it needs to be brought up, I think, at the league level. They should be answering, I think, these things at the league level. We have the ability to communicate across the world instantly now, and they've got operation centers up and going. And, you know, take it out of the groundskeeper's hand, I think, just because you don't want to be the guy that's making that call. Or if you did wait too long, God forbid somebody did get hurt, you know, you're the one saying, hey, let's go out there in the wind and scary conditions and get some work done. So it's got to be an overall comprehensive kind of, you know, everybody getting on the same page, get the people in the room, talk it out. That's what they do in the NFL. Get all the groundskeepers together, talk it out, work this out, and come up with a solution, and then adjust it as you go on down the road. But honestly, if you look at it as a worker safety issue, you really do need to find some kind of solution. And that's the only thing I can think of. Get them out earlier, have better trained people, better practice, and risk sometimes being wrong about a rain delay.
Right.
At the end
right.
of the world, we used to
know, babe. Life goes on. Life. Tom?
Yeah, you know, I used to, you know, one thing people used to always ask me, I used to get the question all the time, well, when's it going to rain? How much is it going to rain? When's it going to stop? All this stuff. And I said, you know, if I knew the answer to all those questions, you'd all be working for me. You know, you got to be prepared. You got to communicate. And I always went to the visiting team. I went to the home team. I went to the umpires every single day, rain or shine, whatever the forecast, and was consistent about saying, okay, here's the deal, blah, blah, blah. We got a 50% chance of rain, but I don't think we're going to get it, you know, or 30%, we could get slammed. It probably won't happen. Johnny Ochoa's always telling us, say, you know, there's 30% chance. Oh, there's 70% chance it won't rain. So and after a while, I went, Johnny, it's 50-50 today. Look at it whichever way you want. And he just laughed. But, you know, that's what I'm saying is you get a sense, and if you're prepared enough and you know the right forecast to use, you can prepare yourself. And I don't think that anybody in New York or Atlanta or wherever they are can tell you the weather better than someone local that's dealing with that weather at that in that municipality every single day. And, you know, there's certain models that handle certain situations at certain times of year better than others. And those people that are local there in the local office know that better than someone that's looking at the whole entire country, you know, because they're focused on that region. And so that's why I think that the centralized person in New York, you know, he may not know what, you know, the weather in North Texas is, or the weather in the Rockies is, or, you know, South Florida, you know, someone more regional in there, maybe they need to get the National Weather Service, the local office involved.
The local forecast office.
You know, yeah, the local forecast office.
Local forecast office.
That's just my point of view on it. You know?
Ross?
So, well, I just don't, I would respectfully, I agree with Tom in a lot of ways, all weather is local and you're going to, certainly, you know, we had a localized weather service we would use for our own internal information. And you're right. They can tease out details and go, oh, I know this setup. It's a typical Denver cyclone setup. The storms, you know what I mean? They'll be able to tease out those details. But I just don't think that when you're looking in terms of a policy and a solution and a way to prevent all these YouTube videos you can watch, or, you know, we're really ultimately after is making sure nobody gets hurt. That's the last thing anybody wants. I don't think better weather forecasting is really part of much of the solution. We're going to have to, you know, you can only tease it up so far to that edge. And once you do, you know, Mother Nature, The referee would come to us during a lightning delay. How long does this last? What's this? And my answer, well, I look like Mother Nature. I'm not a weather expert. I haven't been trained. I try to tell them, I watch this weather and stuff like that. So I really would disagree that I think in terms of a policy and procedure that would help and give the grounds crew some kind of protection, that it does kind of need to come centralized, because as we start bringing in more chefs in the, the National Weather Service may say this, your local.
Everybody's got an opinion.
The TV guy may say this. And then as the league, they're sitting there going, how are we making these decisions? So in terms of pushing it to the edge and getting the best weather, I agree 100%, Tom. Your local guy's going to know.
There's always going to be situations where it's not going to work. Something happens where it just starts drizzling, and you tell the guy, hey, when it starts drizzling like this, we need to cover because it's going to be a big storm. And they just wait it out. Those are the worst ones. They start waiting because it's not raining that hard. And then it just dumps. And that's the, that's the biggest difference between, baseball and football. Because, in football, you don't have to get that field covered and get all the players off and get the field covered during the game.
Right.
That's the biggest difference, is that time is of the essence. And I don't see how a central office is going to, when you got to make a snap decision, you don't have time to call the central office and say, hey, can I cover the field?
I'm going to side with both you guys. I agree with Ross that in order for this to have some teeth, you've got to have the league office there.
I agree with that too. Back
everybody up. And this all has to come from league office. And I agree with Tom. One guy looking at it nationally is hard. But still, I think, Tom, there has to be a coordinator. The guy in the league office is talking himself with the local forecast office. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's how it works. But because of the implications, the pitchers, managers are going to pitch a fit. You know that. And it's not unless you've got the league office back there to back you up, you're left to get skinned alive as a groundskeeper.
I think player safety and everything is the big thing. Worker safety, fan safety. I do agree that there's got to be some kind of a policy, and maybe there needs to be someone, you have an umpire supervisor at the game. Maybe he should get some, maybe that person is the one that's at each stadium because, you've got 15 games going on around the country, take out the dome stadium. So you maybe have 13 that, calls got to be made, and there could be several rain delays. I mean, you look in the Midwest where you've got Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Chicago, all in that same area. And they could all be affected by it. Or look on the East Coast, it could all be affected by the same weather system at one time in different locations. So I think you basically maybe have someone designated at each event, because I think it's easier being there than just looking on a radar screen. Get a mechanism in place that this is the procedure that you go through. And, we just have an impartial person there saying, okay, this is the situation. Or, it's going to take a lot of discussion and a lot of communication to get it right.
It's certainly not something we're going to solve here in this time period.
No.
We could go on this for hours, but unfortunately, my time is limited.
I want to know what Tarika thinks. We got three guys in a room with one woman,
Well, I don't have the experience that you guys have, but in my limited experience and, from watching my friends deal with this as well, I would like to see a more centralized policy to a degree, but I also think that you guys, the groundskeeper needs to be the final say on that. But then you're also right, because then that opens you up for all kinds of, insurance and scrutiny and unfortunately lawsuits. And, we don't have the time to deal with that. And But there needs to be, you know, some kind of a way to back up the groundskeeper and to be listening to them while also, you know, working with the groundskeeper from, I do like the idea of the centralized location to help give the groundskeeper some teeth, you know, but also to, because I'm trying to figure out how to say this without throwing anybody under the bus. I've worked.
Go ahead. We've all been thrown under the bus.
It's our job.
I've worked Thank with you. People who sometimes need to be calmed down.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, like I said, this is a discussion, especially when you get some groundskeepers together, that we could discuss all day. Because, and truthfully, that's probably what really needs to happen. But it needs to happen with the league and with the groundskeepers and all parties involved. But
totally
good discussion here, some great ideas, and I appreciate you two guys for being on. Again, Ross Kirkhab from Championship Sports Turf. If you want to talk to Ross some more about this type of thing, Ross, why don't you give out your email address?
Sure. It's turf, P-U-R-F, 444, at gmail.com.
And Tom Burns from Diamond Pro. Tom, do you care to give a way for somebody to contact you if they want to discuss this with you a little more?
Sure. T. Burns at diamondpro.com.
Very good. And thank you guys for a lively conversation. Some great information and some good insight into this. And hopefully this sparks some more discussion amongst groundskeepers and their league officials. And guys, I appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, I applaud you.
Thank you.
I applaud you guys for bringing up this issue. It's an important issue, and thanks for having me on.
All right,
yeah,
thanks.
Thank you, too. Great visiting with you all. I think we had some good discussion, and hopefully this will go farther.
Great. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Well, I think that was a really good conversation. You know, obviously we're not going to solve the world problems in a matter of, you know, 30 or 40 minutes, right?
Well, and this is a very complicated problem. As we talked about in the interview, there's just so many things, so many other intervening things from outside that it's just not one easy answer to fix this problem of safety on the tarps.
Yeah. I thought it was fascinating to hear about how the NFL does have such a tighter control over so many different issues as far as the field is concerned versus MLB. And I think that has its positives, but it also has some negatives, you know, like we discussed with Tom. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you've got the Players Association to thank for that in the NFL. And I truthfully, I'm all for it. I wish Major League Baseball Players Association would get more involved with field related issues. And I think some of the guys in Major League Baseball would feel the same way if they would help stand up for some of the things that we believe are important and critical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the difference is between the NFL. In more cases than not, I think it's good things that the NFL gets involved in. So I applaud that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is a big issue. I mean, a lot. I know that if we have any listeners that aren't, you know, on a former or current grounds crew members, they might not be familiar with this, but every year when we would go to our national conference, you know, we all sit around and we have a new tarp story to tell. It's part of what we all look forward to in a way, because it gives us a chance to get out some of these stories that other people don't understand the gravity of. And even though we laugh about it while we're telling the stories or afterwards, you know, it's a good way to help relieve some of that stress. I don't know that non-professional grounds crew members understand the danger that can happen when you are dealing with that tarp and it gets out of control. I mean, the most dangerous part of it is that there is a, and I'm going to explain this wrong, but there's like that suction that happens when the tarp hits the ground or when the tarp hits another piece of the tarp. And there is a suffocation risk, a very real suffocation risk. And it happens quite quickly.
Yes. Especially in a heavy rain situation, heavy rain and a strong wind will evacuate the air underneath that tarp very quickly, and suck down the ground tightly. But you know, not only that, but in situations like the situation that happened in Pittsburgh last week, where the guy got rolled up into the tarp, you know, when wind starts grabbing a tarp and starts throwing it around, it can wad up and ball up very quickly.
Yeah.
And if you get stuck up in that ball as the wind's blowing it around, there's a lot of twisting and torquing. And that wind has a lot of leverage with that tarp. And if you're not, you know, depending on how you get rolled up in there, if your arm's in a funny way or something, you can have lots of bad things happen.
Yeah.
Separated shoulders, broken arms, broken legs, all kinds of things. So it is a very critical thing when it happens. And, you know, so there is a lot of danger there. And, you know, the other thing is when you get stuck under a tarp like that, you're instantly disoriented. You don't know which way's out. You don't know which way's the only thing you know is which way's up and which way's down. That's pretty easy. But you have no idea. You could discombobulate it very quickly in there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even there's a lot of professional groundskeepers who don't even know those things because they don't have to deal with tarps.
Good point.
It's the people who regularly deal with it, who really understand the issue and know of it. And so, this is a very timely topic for right now, but it's always a timely topic. And I would like to see more done to protect the crews, because most of the time it's like, yeah, let the ground crew take care of it. We're going to run for cover.
Yeah. You know?
The hell with them. So yeah, it's kind of a critical thing. But, you know, I'd like to hear from our listeners. I'd like to hear what they think. I'd like to hear if they've got some stories about
it. Yes, please.
That kind of stuff. So if you guys have those stories, tweet us or email us and send us those stories. And in a future show, if we get enough comments, we might put those on the air and talk about it some more.
Yep.
But aside from that's pretty much it for this little quick, short, mini version of this show. Be sure to tune in next time for our normal Diamond DaVinci's podcast for more talk about ball field groundskeeping. And the best part is it's all free, because who else wants to talk about gory things like tarp crew members getting balled up in a tarp?
Our official webpage for the show can be found at beaconathletics.com/podcast. We put up our show notes there for our normal shows. And this week we'll actually include some of the stories that we've got. If you guys want us to include those on our page, just let us know. If you email them or Twitter or tweet them at us, and we'll share them with everyone else so we can all pool our stories. We'll have like our own little mini version of an STMA conference there. That'll be fun.
There you go. We'd love to hear from you, too, again. So if you want, you can email Teresa and I at podcast@beaconathletics.com. Again, send us those tarp stories, or send us your ideas of ways to improve the safety for our crews and make things much more efficient. So get those off to us. Again, podcast@beaconathletics.com.
And if you want to hit us on Twitter instead, you can get us at Diamond DaVinci's. That's at Diamond DaVincis.
The Diamond DaVinci's podcast, remember, is sponsored by Beacon Athletics for over 67 years, providing solutions for sports field managers. And with that, we're done with tarps going wild. We're going to head back to our normal, regularly scheduled programming and be back to you with a new show coming up shortly.
Adios, folks.